What I would like to share with you, I don't want to give you a sermon this afternoon. I would like for us to study the Bible together for a few minutes. There's a lot of young people here this afternoon, and I would like to ask you that as you see the direction that I feel like the Lord would have us to look at, that you would pull your Bibles and that you would help me out. There are some laws of God that are settled. They're established. It doesn't matter if the whole world says there's no God. There are some laws that God has set in motion that will continue on. The whole world can say, I don't believe God made gravity. I don't believe God made these things. You know what? It continues on whether they believe or not. You throw a rock straight up in the air, and if you don't move out of the way, it's going to get you. There are laws that God has set in motion. There are laws in the Word of God that are just as sure as that. Thinking about a verse in Psalms 119 and 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. It doesn't matter what I think about it, what you think about it, or the whole world. If we took a poll and say we no longer believe that the Bible is right, it doesn't matter. God's word is still forever settled in heaven. Another one, Ecclesiastes 3 and 14. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. It's settled. And there's something that the Lord has been dealing with me about. You know, we have the scripture that tells us, thy word, O Lord, have a hid in my heart. And the purpose of it wasn't that I would be able to go out in the world and debate them and win the arguments. But the purpose of that is, thy word, O Lord, have a hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. At times when I need that to come back to me, that it would spring back in my mind. The reason that we have our children on Sunday morning to recite a verse isn't to show all the other parents how spiritual we are. It's about that I want this child to be hiding away God's word in their heart to where one day they will need it and it will come back to them. I would like to talk to you about a very small word. You know, in our English language, we have words that are so big that some of us, when we try to say what that word is, we just have to stumble through it. Sometimes you'll hear a minister reading several verses and he gets down into people's names or places and he tries a few of them and then he says, and just all the rest of them, and then you move on. There are words that are so big that it's hard to say them. I have a word this afternoon that I'd like for us to take a look at. It's only two letters in it. I want to talk to us this afternoon about the word if. If. Every one of us can say it. But you know what? That word carries so much weight in God's word, in God's law. And what I'd like for us to, for a few minutes, and I'd like for y'all to help me out, because I don't want to just me talk and y'all sleep. So as you see the direction, I'd like for you to remember, dig back in your data bank of scriptures that you have learned. The word if in there, see if it applies to what we have to talk about this evening. I'm thinking about a set of balancing scales. You remember the ones where it's got the pivot in the middle, two little containers on the side? That's what they used to use when you went to the grocery store and you wanted to buy something. There was a set weight over here, and then you want a pound of this, they add to it till it evens out. There are scriptures in the Word of God that very little word, if, swings the scales one way or another. It did it in my own life. There were times, and maybe you have never had it happen to you when you were a child, but there were times when I would cross the line in my home to where Dad would say to me, he would use that little word, if you do that again, I'm going to whip you. Anybody else hear that? That little old word, it wasn't two letters, but it swung what my immediate future was going to be about. And it's about choice. It put the choice back in my hands. Okay, Dan, what you want to do about it? I'm giving it clear to you what your future holds here, but you get to make the decision. And sometimes I've made the wrong decision. And Dad would remember his part of the bargain, and he'd take care of it. Well, I'd like for us to start out looking in the Word of God, because God's our Heavenly Father. There are many places in the Bible where He has put that little word, if, in there. And He's given me choice. I can decide which way I want to go with it. And let's start with the first one that I had noticed was in Genesis. Remember when the Lord came to Cain and had a little talk with him? He used that little word, and it would swing one way or another off of the decision that Cain would make from the law of God that God was fixing to give him. Look in the fifth verse, unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. The Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? And now he goes to the scales here. He says, if thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? If thou doest not well, here's this one little word that's going to swing Cain's future off of a decision that he's going to make. Cain, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Cain, if you do not well, sin lies at the door. Now Cain is going to have to go away from here and make a choice. This little word, if, is going to swing it one way or another. Because God has given his law now to Cain. You get a choice now, Cain. If you'll do well, you'll be accepted. If you don't do well, you'll be rejected. I'd like to go to another one. Very first chapter in Isaiah. You remember the verse where it says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. You know what? We're living in a time where that verse to a lot of people means, I get to tell the Lord the way I want to do it, and He may accept it. But what this means is the Lord's willing to spend some time with us. He's willing to make sure we have it laid out good, that when He says, if, I understand what the conditions of that is. Come now and let us reason together. And then He goes on down and we see where if comes into this picture. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Here's the scales. Here's the options. Here's the thing, the decisions that you can make. Just like with Cain, there's good for you here. But there's if. You get to make a choice which way it goes. To the young people here today, there are laws that God has put into place. It doesn't change with technology. It continues the same. He has never taken away from us the ability to choose. But He makes it very clear to us, if you go this way, it'll cost you. If you go this way, you'll have the blessings of the Lord. If ye be willing and obedient, you'll be able to eat the good of the land. But if, here it comes again, just like with Cain, you rebel and refuse, and you'll be destroyed. There is another one that applies to our country today. 2 Chronicles 7 and 13. I'd like to look at it. Starts out in the 13th verse. If I shut up heaven and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. Those are things that God chose to do. And now He takes the scales and He hands it to us and says, there's something you can do to change that condition. What was it? If my people. And I think about America today. I believe God's setting the scales out in front of us all. You can swing it either way. There, we can continue the famine in the land, or if is the pivotal point here. By a decision that you make, you can change things for your betterment. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn See, each of these are things that are laid over on this side of the balancing scales. Humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn, then will I hear from heaven, and I'll forgive their sin, and I'll heal their land. There is another one. Do you remember in Ezekiel, in the 33rd chapter? I'm sorry? Okay. That's true. Yeah. And it's real easy. You know what? It would be real easy with what she's saying there for me to say, you know what? Our country's not doing it. So not going to be able to fix it much. You know what? This comes down to an individual matter. There was a time when the Lord came down. He was going to make a trip to Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was an if in there. If there happens to be, and it came down to 10 righteous people. If there's 10 of them, I'll change the direction that I intend to do for Sodom and Gomorrah. There again is how valuable that word if is. Maybe our nation as a whole won't turn. Maybe people around me won't change. This if starts with me. If I will humble myself, pray, seek God's face, and turn, this pivotal point on this set of balancing scales, the same scales that God says forever, my word is established. It's forever settled in heaven. He puts that little word if in there that can make the difference. Does anyone have one in as you're thinking where the word if will pivot it one way or another off of a choice, or it will show what choice I have made? What about the verse that says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. There's going to be something happen that follows it. It'll swing one way or another. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. If you have one that you would like to share, I'd like you to just speak up and add it in. There you go. It's on the scales here. If I'm risen with Christ, and you know, we used to in school, you would work your problem, your math problem through, and then if you want to make sure that I didn't just mess up on it, you go ahead and work it backwards, and then you'll see, okay, it works out. This one, if you then be risen with Christ, seek those things that are above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Work that problem backwards, and if I'm not seeking those things above, then I need to get worried that maybe there's a question about me being risen with Christ, about me where I am with Christ. These can work both ways. What about Ezekiel 33? Do you remember the people decided, you know what? We have something that we want to say about God's scales. Lord, your ways are not equal. You don't have a just balance right here. This is not fair. Let's take a look at just a few of those in the 17th verse of the 33rd chapter. It says, yet the children of thy people say, the way of the Lord is not equal. But as for them, their way is not equal. When the righteous turneth from his righteousness and committeth iniquity, he shall die thereby. But then here comes that little word, if, that has so much power. But if, and it's my choice of what I do with it, if the wicked turn from his wickedness and do that which is lawful and right, he shall live thereby. So where I can say, Lord, it don't seem like your ways are equal. He says it's equal because I lay out my law before you and I say to the righteous man, if you turn from this righteousness in any place, I'll forget that righteousness that you've done. If to the wicked man, here's the scales, if you'll turn from that wickedness, all that wickedness that has been done in the past will not be remembered anymore. Okay? Okay. All right, and just right along in there, I believe there's several verses there where it puts that verse on this set of scales here. If. In Ezekiel 33 is one we had, and then what he's reading there is in 1 John. But Ezekiel 33 is kind of showing where the people are saying, you know what, the ways of your dealings, it's not just. We want it to be a little different way. Well, God's already settled it all in heaven. He says, come, let us reason together. In other words, I'm not going to change what I have, but I'll take a little time with you to show you what if will do both ways for you. Does anyone have another one? Okay. Okay. That's true. If you be. Yeah. So the temptation when Satan came to the Lord himself. If you be the Son of God, do this. Turn this into bread. Turn these stones into bread. Yeah. Did Joshua use the scales? Joshua, I think, 24 and 15, when he's talking to the people. What about it? Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Yes. If it seem evil to you to serve the Lord, decide who you'll serve. But you know what? He came on down. He had already put his on the scales and weighed it out. He said, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. If it seem evil, put yours on the scales and make your choice of which way you want to go. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Anybody have another that you'd like to share? Okay, John 14 and 15. If. You love me.
What is it, John 14?
John 14 and 15, is that right, Sister Connie?
Yes, and he goes on and has one more than to be able to.
If you love me, keep my commandments. So I can run that one backwards. If I'm having trouble with the commandments, check about the love that I have for him. What about right where the Bible is closing out? The Lord used a couple scriptures there that had the word if in it. Anybody remember where that was? It puts it on the scales. You get to make a choice here. I testify this is in the 18th verse of the 22nd chapter of Revelations, where he has just said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that heareth come, and let him that is athirst come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. What does he say in the next verse? He puts it on the scales. I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away. Here's a choice that I get to make. He just wanted to make sure, you know, where we say, come now and let us reason together. He's taking a little time to make sure I've got it clear here. You add to this, and I'm going to add to the plagues that come to you. You take away from it, and I'm going to take away his part out of the book of life. God is interested in us being able to, that it, nothing slips up on us blindsided. I thought I was serving the Lord. I thought I was pleasing him and found out I wasn't. No. His ways are equal. He will make sure that it's simple enough that I can get a hold to it. Anybody else have an if?
Revelations 3 and 20.
Behold,
I stand at the door and knock. If
there it is.
Any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he will be.
The whole thing swings off of that little two-letter word.
Yes.
I stand at the door and knock, but I will not break it down. I've thought about that before. The God of heaven, that when you read the first chapter of Genesis, he created this on this day. He spoke and this happened. And then when he created the human, he gave us a choice. You know what? There's a lot of power in what he allowed us to do. To be able to tell the God of heaven, no, I don't want to do that. And he lets us keep on breathing for a while. It's a serious thing, the choices that I get to make. And the places where he has said, Dan, I'm going to give you a choice here. If you go this way, this will happen. If you choose to go this way, it'll be well for you. Okay, does anyone have another one? Okay. You shall never, if you do these things. You know, some of these verses that we had, the if was a pretty negative thing. Cain, if you continue in this way, sin lies at the door. This one is, you do these things, you'll never fall. We have moral issues that sometimes we tussle with. In my human thinking, maybe it ought to be a little easier than what the Bible says it should be. I'd like for us to go to a moral issue that we face today in Romans 7. It has in there the word if.
Romans 7.
And then also in 1 Corinthians. But we'll look at Romans 7. It says, for the woman is which hath an husband is bound by the law to her husband so long as he liveth. But here's the scales that come out to let us know how what God thinks about it. But if the husband be dead, she is loosed from the law of her husband. So then, if, here it comes again, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress. God's law, he doesn't want us to have any question about it. He wants it to get real, real clear for us because my soul is headed for eternity. And when I get to thinking about, I only get one chance. I do not get to the end of it and say, Lord, but I didn't realize if meant that. I didn't realize it was as serious as what you said. And I chose the if that went the other way. Cain had two decisions, which one he would make. He made the wrong one. It cost him. I'm headed for eternity. What I want desperately is to know what if means to God. When God's law and he's laying out the scales to me, folks, we're in a time where people can decide what all that means. This just says, so then if, while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she should be called an adulteress. Then it clears it up a little more for us. But if her husband be dead, she's free from that law, so that she is no adulteress, though she be married to another man. Let's go to one more verse while we're looking at that. Another one that has if in it. 1 Corinthians 7. In the 7th and the 10th, 7th chapter, 10th verse. Unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. And then here comes the verse, the scales, with the if. But an if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. The Lord wants to make sure that things get real clear for us, because I'll stand before Him one day and be judged.
Amen.
So He gives me, here's the if. If she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Anybody else have one that you'd like to share? Okay, go ahead.
Galatians 5:14-15.
Okay.
For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one another.
See, these verses take that two-letter word and put so much weight in it. Because I put it on the scales and it tips it one way or another by the choice that I make. But if ye bite and devour, be careful that you not be consumed one of another. You remember? Go ahead.
Sorry.
No?
I don't have a verse, but I've been thinking about programming languages. They have if then statements in them. And I know there are folks here that know more about it than I do.
Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Use if then statements. And I know there are folks here that know more about it than I do, but it gives you a definite starting point from there to go on mm-hmm. until you come to another question that needs to be resolved. And you cannot get past that. And the word if in the Bible is every bit that stronger. And
That's programmers, right.
Realize that.
Mm-hmm.
They realize we cannot keep on the fence here. We have to go on. Which way do I go? Once you decide, the program takes you to the next set of questions. That's the way life is. We do not stay in a limbo state. We do make choices, and it affects our next set of choices.
And it continues on.
You can't get out of that.
At work a few years ago, they replaced our energy management system. I work in an office building, and for the air conditioning, they're all the time wanting to see, is there something that will make it to where the tenants there are more comfortable? So just like what he's talking about, they came in and did the program for it. And we have things like, okay, if it's below 68 degrees outside, we want to be able to use outside air. If the outside air gets up to 65, then we've got some fans that we will turn from heating fans into cooling fans. And that's the way that program was set up. If the outside air is 68 or above, then this is to happen. If the outside air is below this, then this is to happen. If it's this temperature, this should be the discharge of that fan. And all these things that happen back in the back, because this program said, if this happens, then this is to happen. And the Lord, throughout the Bible, is just putting that one little word. And I'd like for us, as we leave here and we're just studying on our own sometime, to see the value of that little word if when it's in God's law. The one where the owner of the vineyard came by and he said, these 3 years I've come by and I've checked it. Cut it down. And the dresser of the vineyard said, give me just a little bit more time. Let me dig about it. Let me fertilize it. But even there, he used the word if. Give me one more year. And there's been times that I've wondered about myself. Where am I in that time period? Has the Lord had to come along and say, I tell you what, I've tried to work with Dan all these years. About time to cut it down. And the Lord's coming along and say, would you have a little bit of time with him? Am I over in the area where the Lord's been trying to work with me? And he's saying, I asked for a year. After that year, if kicks in. But if, give me a year. If at the end of that time it hasn't borne fruit, then you can cut it down. The importance, the weight of that word if.
John 14:17, Jesus said, if ye love
If. A lot of weight. Okay. If you love me, keep my commandments. Deuteronomy had some places where when the Lord was working with them, that word if made so much difference. If you do this, here's what I'm going to do for you. Look at, and you know, some of these things that we've been saying, the if was a negative thing. I'd like for us to take a look at Deuteronomy, 28th chapter. Because you know the verse that says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They're thoughts of good. They're not evil. You know what? I believe the Lord has those thoughts for every one of us. The end result for you, Dan, is I want you to make heaven. I've got thoughts of peace and not of evil. Here are some of those. Look at the beginning of 28th chapter. It shall come to pass. And here that word kicks in again, because it's a choice of whether it's going to come to pass or not. It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. Here's what's going to happen if you made that choice. I will command thee this day that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee. You won't be able to get away from him. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you for having made the right decision. If, here he comes back after saying all that, what the good things I'm going to do for you. If you'll hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Now you follow on down there and it just starts blessed after blessed. Blessed shalt thou be in the city. Blessed shalt thou be in the field. But then it comes on down, and almost always when we see all those promises that the Lord has given, before he finishes the chapter out, he'll switch over. Just in case you don't see the weight of this, if you see it all as positive, see this one at the bottom when he finishes up, 15th verse. But it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken. He has left the choice up to us. And today, where it was said, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. You know what? To each one of us and to the young people, for sure, that choice is not made just one time in life. Every day, you will choose to continue in that direction or to be slowly drawn back or quickly drawn back into something else. Here he's saying, I want to impress upon you what's going to happen should you choose not to. It shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe it. Then he puts curses. Things are going to go wrong for you throughout your life. And I want to tell you, we have lived long enough to watch history. People who made choices that chose not to choose the good part of if. And life happened to them. Homes fell apart. So much trouble followed them. And yet all the time he was holding out. I'm holding out to you life. The beginning of the 28th chapter was still there for the person that chooses it. If you do, all these blessings will overtake you. Don't want to hold you too long. Does anyone have anything else? Okay, Luke. Look at the power of that swing of what if means. If any man will come after me, if he will, let him deny himself. Let him take up his cross and follow me. If. The power of if. If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Okay, Romans 10 and 9. Okay, go ahead. Okay? The 10th chapter of Romans and the 9th verse. Here's
what?
Romans 10 and 9.
For with thy heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
If you'll confess with thy mouth, got a guarantee for you, and if you believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. No question about it. He's not going to leave you out in the dark. Here's what swings it, if you'll do it. What about a promise that the Lord gave us in the 14th chapter of the book of John? In my Father's house are many mansions.
Yes.
If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, count on it. This if that has gone all through the Bible came. If you choose not to do right, there's punishment for you. To the Christian that chooses right throughout life, he's got one more for us. I'm going to prepare a place for you. If there really was no place, I'd have told you.
Yes.
And if I go to do it, I'm coming back to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Praise the Lord.
Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what I would hope is, as we go from here, we'll see if a little bit different. It's more than just a little two-letter word that was put in there to try to fill up that verse, but it carries a lot of weight with it. Does anybody have another before we close? Okay.
To do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to cleave unto him. Then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and you shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourself. Deuteronomy 11 and 22 and 23.
If was put in Deuteronomy quite a few times, where he's given them some instruction. If you'll do these things, which brings another verse to my mind. If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. What was that talking about? The ordnance service. You want some happiness? Not just to do the act of it, but to let it become a part of my life. You know, we teach our children that the happiest that you'll ever be is when you reach out to help somebody else. That's taught in the ordinance service. It's not about me. It's about my brother. Let me reach out and see if I can help him. And it should not end whenever we have all left that room. But it needs to continue throughout my life, not just to those, but to all mankind.
To rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God?
Okay, and instruction that was given there. Here's what you need to do. Because if you can't do this, then you'll have trouble being able to rule in the church of God.